Proverbs, the 15th chapter, is where we're at. We had a great Valentine's Day last Sunday, and now the Lord seems to be leading everyone to talk about marriage and family and dating and love. The teens are talking about it. Our Sunday school class was talking about it this morning. We will talk about it right now. Proverbs 15. And when you find that, please find the back of your bulletin and you will see our message and a few blanks to fill in. I think a very helpful outline that we can all tuck in our memories if you write it down. And you'll see our title there, Desperate Households. Proverbs 15, look with me beginning in verse number 13. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And then verse 17 says, Better is a dinner of herbs, that's a vegetable plate, where love is, than a stalled ox, that's filet mignon, and hatred therewith. Well, all of a sudden we've got several weddings scheduled now through summertime, right here within the church. And I do feel like the Lord would have us anyway to speak about marriage today. And the principles that we will share here apply even to singles. Though in this church right now, I get the feeling that some of the singles may be thinking about marriage too. Not to embarrass anyone or point them out, but they're the ones with red faces right now. And if by chance you're single and you're not thinking about marriage right now, don't look for the right one. Just be the right one. And in God's time, you'll get the right one. Young people, don't look for the right one. Just be the right one. And you'll get the right one. We have right here in this room, we are privileged. We have a lot of young couples. And we, young couples, I say we, they don't claim me anymore. But our many young couples here in the church, we are blessed, whether we realize it or not, because we have in our midst quite a few great examples of good, strong marriages here in our midst. And they are ones that we can pattern after. We should never take that for granted. We should learn from the great examples here in our midst. Some years ago, Brother Bob asked Miss Sharon, "Will you love me when I'm old and gray?" And she said, "Sure I do. Sure I do." Marriage and family, by God's design, is one of life's greatest privileges and most awesome, amazing adventures. And yet the devil has a plan for marriage too. And the devil's plan for marriage includes making your life miserable and destroying you to the core. And so marriage is quite a pivot point that can go either direction. It can be really good, it can be really bad, and there's not a whole lot of room in between. You will notice in our passage today some negative words. We read verse 13, it says sorrow. And we read verse 15 where it says afflicted. And verse 16 mentions trouble. And verse 17 mentions hatred. Go down to verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. We see anger mentioned there with strife as well. Verse 22, disappointed is a key word in verse 22. What are all these negative words doing here in this passage about a happy family and a merry heart? Well, these negative words are all synonyms for stress and tension. Stress and tension. And so we'll call this message, Desperate Households, Dealing with Stress and Tension, because this represents those times when in so many of our homes, the string gets too tight and somebody snaps, or the marriage snaps. Like a guitar string can snap if it gets too tight. A balloon seems fine. Maybe it can take a little bit more, but then boom, a volcano. A volcano beneath the surface. What is there? It's fire. Oftentimes we erupt on one another. Imagine a pressure cooker. Things boil over. And you know, we need to add some margin to our life. Some margin. I didn't say margarine. Some margin to our life. You know what the margins are. You stay within the margins. Most of us live up to here, you know. And we have the pot of our marriage filled so full with so many things that it can't take any heat. It quickly boils over. No, we need to lower the levels down. Say no to some things. Add some margin to our lives. Like that balloon. You think it can take a little bit more, but then all of a sudden it blows up everywhere. Well, these are some stressful times in which we live. And almost every day you hear about another home where the string has snapped. Did you know that an act of domestic violence is committed every 15 seconds in America? Domestic violence, that's within the home. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Out of one-fourth of all marriages, violence occurs, at least occasionally. 20% of all murders take place within the family. And of those, 13% are committed against a spouse. We used to say that it's a jungle out there, but it's a jungle in here, is what we would say now. Stress in the home. Let's talk about it. Stress in the home is like sand to machinery. A marriage which should be smooth and efficient and like a well-oiled machine gets sand in the works and starts to slowly grind away. Have you ever been there before? So how do we reduce the stress? How do we reduce the tension in our homes? Number one, here's some practical helps from the wisdom of Proverbs. Number one, learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. We just read verses 13 and 15, which talk about that merry heart, making a cheerful countenance. Verse 15, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast, it says. If you skip over a page to your right, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There's a picture for you. Dry bones. What's a broken spirit? What's a broken spirit? Well, the spirit of a man is his wellspring of life. It's his zest. And when the spirit is broken, it means that you've lost that vim, that vigor. When your spirit is broken, you've lost your enthusiasm. You're tempted to give up. But here, God reminds us that laughter is a gift. Laughter is a gift that God has given to us to help us release tension, to keep our spirits from being broken in this sin-cursed earth. According to this verse, God can even help keep us healthy, even health. Emotional health and physical health is affected by laughter. And medical science has proven that when you laugh, chemicals are released, enzymes in the brain, which are extremely important to the health of our vital organs. Listen to part of this article from a secular magazine called Executive Digest. It says, scientists have been studying the effects of laughter on human beings and have found, among other things, that laughter has a profound, instantaneous effect on virtually every organ of the human body. Laughter reduces unhealthy tensions, relaxes the tissues, as well as exercising vital organs. Laughter, even when forced. And don't you know you force laughter sometimes, like when you know that I'm expecting it in a sermon somewhere. Laughter, even when forced, results in a beneficial effect on us mentally and physically. Then they say, so the next time you feel nervous and jittery, indulge in a good laugh. I say when you feel stress and tension, don't take things too seriously. I don't think that I could ever possibly deal with the stresses of this life and the spiritual stresses and pressures of the ministry if my home were not such a fun place to be. I love spending time there. Kimberly will vouch for the fact that most of our time at home, it just rings out with laughter. You can hear the sounds of laughter. Once in a while, there's other sounds in our home too. But there's just something wonderful in the air there. Well, maybe air wasn't the best thing to mention. Anyway, I want you to know that though she hides it at church, this girl is a party in a box over here. She really is. She acts, you know, all holy and the first lady of the church, you know, right? And every night at 9, she gets giddy to a new definition. You say, well, I actually think she's giddy at church. No, at church, compared to home, she's a goth. Okay? I'm going to videotape sometime and just show you some things. I'm pretty much guilty of that sort of thing, too, I've got to admit. And the kids pick up on it. The kids pick up on that kind of a spirit in the home and they join right in. They don't even know what they're doing a lot of times. They don't even know what was funny about a joke or something that happened, but they just pick up on it and they love to laugh right along with us. And our home is a place of laughter and playing games and walks and piles of leaves and jokes and chasing. We used to chase around the house. If you have a home like ours, you've got a complete circuit around the living room and the kitchen, you know, where you can make the whole circle. And we used to chase them around there until we realized at that time they were all about this tall and our windowsills were about this high and all the neighbors could see was just me and Kimberly. So, yeah. So we cut out the chasing for a while. Now we can do that again. You know, there's three things in your bulletin, three things that we all ought to give to our children. We ought to give them life. We ought to give them love. We talk all about that. But listen, we need to give them laughter. Laughter. You're only young once. And I would like to go back and have that part of childhood again, you know? And I'd like to have it better. We all probably could have had it better. And so let's try to make it better while we've got it. Our kids grow up so fast. So fast. We're watching it happen. Yesterday, Kimberly was saying, she said to Brother Mike at Walmart, we saw Brother Mike, she said, I wish there was some kind of pill that I could give to the kids and they would stop growing. To which he said, did your husband take that when he was a kid? Hey, right there. You see what we're talking about? Isn't it good to just laugh? To just laugh a little bit. It's okay. Christians can do that, can't they? Okay, good. Good. Because it feels good. It's a good thing. And our children deserve that. Our children deserve life, love, and laughter. That's three things that we ought to give our kids. Now, here's three rules that you ought to have for your home. Yes, be fair. Yes, be firm. But hey, be fun. Be fun. Learn to laugh. Don't take things too seriously. Lighten up. We're going to look back and wish we had some of those times back. We are. I see a lot of people nodding their heads, saying, yes, do it. Do it while you can. Now, here's a parent's responsibility, speaking of kids. I should have put this in the notes. Maybe write it down in the margin there somewhere, because this is good. I got this from Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said, parents' responsibility is to create an atmosphere in the home where the children can easily choose the right path in life. Wow. Creating an atmosphere in which it becomes easy for them to choose the right path. You know, sometimes the atmosphere in our home causes them to want to leave home. It causes them to want to be out from under all that or away from all that. No, we need to have the kind of atmosphere where they can choose the right path. And so, number one today is learn to laugh. Just a simple, basic tidbit of practical wisdom from Proverbs And in the next verse, we find point number two. Cultivate contentment. Cultivate contentment. If you want to reduce the stress and the tension that's breaking up so many homes today, and by the way, some here who've suffered some painful breakups are my strongest supporters, I guarantee you, in preaching this message. They would say, yes, listen, everyone. Cultivate contentment. Look at verse 16 and 17 again. We just read about having little with the fear of the Lord rather than having great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is that vegetable plate than that filet mignon. Verse 17 says, hey, we try to have too much too quickly and we bury ourselves deep and we're drowning in the debt and it causes so much stress and tension. No wonder we snap all the time. We young couples try to have too much too quickly. We want everything that our parents got, over several decades, by the way, but now, and we can, on credit, and oh, how it destroys our marriages. The devil is heaping stress upon us, and we need to remember, things don't make you happy. Things don't make us happy. Consider the classic picture. Here's a comparison, really, a compare and contrast. In the first situation, Dad pulls up to his little frame house in his old car. Somehow the Lord's keeping it running. The kids run out to meet him. They enter in laughing about their day. They smell the aroma of maybe it's just hot dogs or something like that. There's no tablecloth, just placemats. No china, just mismatched dishes, some of them chipped. Regular stainless steel silverware and paper napkins. But Dad reaches out and they all hold hands. He thanks God for their love and the food. Amen. And they dig in. By the way, they're not in the dining room. Their house doesn't have a dining room. The dining room's included in the kitchen. But hey, it rings with laughter. And they tell about their day, how Johnny hit that home run or his sister's dog chewed the hair off her dolly. Contrast that with the other picture. The big, expensive, amortized to the hilt house. Maybe it's got white columns out front. Dad's got a big, expensive vehicle. Pulls up, kicks the cat out of the way. Nobody comes out to meet him. They're all in their rooms watching their private TVs or on their Xbox 360 or Nintendo. Time to eat. They got the big, nice dining room and the china and the crystal and maybe even hors d'oeuvres or soup du jour or smoking roast. But what happens at that table? Dad eats as fast as he can. He's preoccupied. He's got so much to do, thinking about work. Look over at Mom. She's got a face like a hatchet. She knows he's messing around with that secretary. Keep looking around the table at the surly, rebellious teenagers who say nothing unless it's sarcastic and cutting. Now, which one of these homes would you like to live in? Now, listen, I'm not saying that it's impossible to have both, but doesn't life experience tell us that it's extremely uncommon to have both? And so let's not make that our focus. Trying to have both. If we can only have one, what's it going to be? The things or the happiness? If I can only have one, I choose the happiness. Let's not play pretend. It does no good to come here and gather around the Lord's table if all you do is bicker around your kitchen table. Fighting on your way here, but now acting spiritual? Listen, let's work on having a happy home. And in order to do that, we need to cultivate contentment. Live within your means. Can I say that again? Live within your means. Take it from a couple people who didn't do that early on in our marriage. Just say, hey, like the Shirleys, we're going to realize we messed up. We're going to pay our way out of this debt. We're going to do something different. And it's wonderful once you're out and you can do it right. Financial stress will kill the spirit of a home. You don't need that. And you know what our children need? Less technology and more love. We try to give them so many things. We went down to those islands last week and saw some happy children. You know? You can't buy happiness for your kids. We need to remember that. More love, less technology. On the information superhighway, our children are roadkill. And so we need to cultivate contentment. Because better is a dinner of herbs where love is than that stalled ox with strife. Don't even get, if you can help it, don't even start out on the treadmill of materialism. Because like a treadmill, you don't get anywhere. It doesn't take you anywhere. Oh, if only we had a bigger, nicer house like some other people we know. If only we had that newer car. No, if you're not happy with what you've got now, you wouldn't be happy then. It has nothing to do with it. Remember, we're supposed to love people and use things. Love people, use things. But today we've got it backwards. We love things. And no wonder we end up using people to get those things. Philippians 4:11. Not that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, it says. 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hebrews 13:5 tells us to be content with such things as ye have. We're blessed at the Shirley household over on Buckingham Drive, the Buckingham Palace, we call it. We are blessed with a nice house. It's modest, but it's a nice house. We're so thankful for it. Nice things. But you know, Kimberly will vouch for the fact, we are no happier than we were in that two-room, 700-square-foot apartment that we had with not a stitch of furniture in it. We were happy. Why? Because we didn't have kids. No. No. That just slipped out. Sorry. We were driving a vehicle with 200,000 miles on it, just held together with duct tape. We were happy. You know, we're thankful for what we now have, but we know that it doesn't bring happiness with it. The Bible says it's all wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn up. We have things that are much more valuable. What's really important, what's really valuable is things that money can't buy and death cannot take away. And I look at what I've got and I'm rich. I'm rich in things that money can't buy and death can't take away. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." 1 Timothy 6:6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Verse 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of this world." It continues on to verse 8. Do we have verse 8? "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in debt, destruction, perdition." Hey, cultivate contentment. I know many people today have to work two jobs, work extra hours just to make ends meet. That's okay. I'm not talking about making a living. I'm not talking about providing the basics. I'm talking about the tyranny of things that makes us want more and more, that prompts some people to go out seeking more money to buy more things, or more money to pay off what they've already bought on credit, when they should be out in that yard teaching that boy how to throw that ball or reading that book to that girl. But these days, what do? We try to keep up with the Joneses. You've heard me say it before. We buy things that we don't need with money we don't have, to impress people we don't even like. Just trying to keep up. That's the tyranny of things. Cultivate contentment. And by the way, speaking of contentment, if you're here today and you're single, and you don't know what God has for you, this word's for you too. Cultivate contentment. Be content with where God has you today. Focus on the advantages. There are advantages that you have right now. And then just don't look for the right one so much as you be the right one. And in God's timing, He's got somebody else that's just being the right one. And in His timing, let Him hook you up. Not anybody else. Let Him do it. Learn to laugh. Cultivate contentment. Number three, talking about stress and tension in the home, alleviate anger. Alleviate anger. Proverbs 15:18, we just read, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." We need to be slow to anger. Notice these next couple of verses and tell me what they have in common. Proverbs 14:17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him." Proverbs 29:20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." What do all these proverbs have in common? They're all talking about us putting our mouth in gear before we put our brain in gear. We could change our homes by just controlling our tongue. The way to control anger is to control your tongue. Just bite your tongue. I mean, even saying, "I'm just going to take 30 seconds to go think about what I say first, think about the consequences of what I say first, and just cool off a little bit. I'm just going to go shovel some snow for a second." Got plenty of that. The way to control anger is to control our tongue. One guy said, "I always get the last word in arguments. What is it?" "Yes, dear." "Yes, dear." Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, in our house, the last time we had an argument, I had her on her hands and knees. She was saying, "Come out from under that bed and fight like a man." You know, nothing will reduce stress and tension in the home like getting control of our words. Flying words are wild. A lot of them we don't even mean, but you can't ever take them back, and you can't make the other person forget that you said it. So when you're mad, when you're angry, when you're upset, and those times will come, oh, just keep your mouth shut. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." In other words, even though you're having those feelings, just But here's what we do. Let's be honest. Here's what we say in an argument. "Maybe I'll make my point better if I say it a little louder." And then they get louder. "Or if I add some sarcasm or a cutting insult, maybe then they will listen to me and get the point." You say, "Oh, but they bring the worst out in me." Hey, it can't come out unless it's in you. Like a rag. Squeeze it, what comes out? What's inside? So if bitterness comes out, if bitterness comes out when you're squeezed, guess what? It's because bitterness was inside of you. Life is going to squeeze on us at times. You say, "Yeah, but in the heat of the moment, I can't control my mouth." Oh, yes, you can. And you prove it. Because you're having the argument. "No, no, 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 no." Phone rings. "Hello?" "Well, sure, just a sec. He's right here. We were just playing Parcheesi." We can control it if we want to. And here's the key. Go back to the beginning of our passage today. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir it up. So don't stir it up. Don't take the bait. We shouldn't bait one another, but if your spouse baits you, say, "I'm not biting." And guess what? It ends there. And you're not necessarily the loser. because you didn't have a comeback. You just might be the winner if you don't take the bait. Learn to laugh. Cultivate contentment. Alleviate anger. Number four, walk in wisdom. This is a helpful outline. It helps me even when I don't have my notes in front of me and I'm at home and we're going through difficult times. Think of these things. Walk in wisdom. Verse 21. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. We go to a counselor for wisdom. Skip down to verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Hey, we need to walk in wisdom, folks. We need to do some prevention, especially if things are good in our home. Let's make this the time that we do some prevention. Because many times, hear me this morning, many times the marriage which started out as the ideal becomes an ordeal, and then we start looking for a new deal. Let's do some prevention here. We can strike the original match. We can go back and do the first works. We can go back and focus on keeping them the way that we used to focus on getting them. You know? Walk in wisdom. We need to have a real plan, too. We need to talk openly about this. Have a real plan, not just fly by the seat of your pants. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And if your home is characterized by confusion, understand that God is not in that. Strife and tension result when there's confusion. When we're not on the same page, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. We need better communication. Lord willing, we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. The result isn't unity and harmony. The result is division and strife and tension and stress and bang, something snaps. I wish we never had a broken marriage in the church. And that's probably unrealistic. So let's problems will arise, won't they? On a daily basis, that's normal. But wisdom tells us, wisdom begs us to attack the problem, not the person. Stop attacking the person, whoever's close by to vent on. Stop attacking the person and together attack the problem in unity. Listen to Matthew 7. Verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. There's wisdom. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In other words, everyone saw. It was a bad testimony. As Christians, we need to have a better testimony. Now, you can build your home on one of two foundations, according to that verse, rock or sand. And the difference is whether or not you put Christ first in your life and in your marriage. We said last week, you can never love your spouse so much as when you really come to love God and learn the love of God. Once you're saved, you can really learn what true love is and you're capable of a deeper, better kind of love than you were before. So put Christ first in the life and in the marriage. Put first things first. What does God consider important? What are God's priorities? Well, I can tell you one thing that God loves. The Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Put church as a high priority in your home. Where it's never a question about, are we going today? Well, let's check the weather. But is it the Lord's day? Well, that's a priority that we've set in our house. If you love God, you'll love what He loves. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Let's build on the rock. And when the winds of adversity blow and the waves of disappointment roll in, your house will be able to weather the storm. That's walking in wisdom. And then you can build something beautiful together. Listen carefully to this final paragraph. build something beautiful together on the foundation of Christ. And by the way, imagine a triangle. Here's you, here's your spouse, and here's God. Isn't it wonderful? The closer you draw to God, and the closer that your spouse draws to God, look how close you just were drawn to each other, just naturally, just by drawing close to Him. Then we can build something beautiful together on the foundation of Christ. If your salvation is anything more than just fire insurance to you, or just tradition, or a duty, if there's any depth to your salvation at all, then on top of that rock foundation of Christ, build some walls of worship with studs of Sunday school and sighting of Sunday night. Add some windows of Wednesday night attendance. You're well on your way. Paint the interior with peace. Carpet it with contentment. Build a kitchen of kindness. Stock the shelves well in the pantry of purity. Then hang a chandelier of charity. Listen to me. A hallway of holiness will often lead you back to a bedroom of bliss. And make sure and have that special room where the whole family can bathe in the lather of laughter near that fireplace of forgiveness, which warms the atmosphere and leads up to the roof of repentance, which, by the way, will keep the whole family sheltered from the storms of sin. The blessings are right in our backyard if we want them and if we'll build our house on the rock. Let's learn to laugh. Let's cultivate contentment. Let's alleviate the anger. Let's have a plan on purpose and let's walk in wisdom. Amen? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, this has been a practical message about marriage and family, children and home. But this is the Lord's Day. And one thing that we've attempted to share in this is that it's wonderful to be a Christian. And if you're here today and you don't know how wonderful it is to be a Christian, don't just trust my word for it. Become a Christian. Get saved today. Oh, the Lord wants to change your life. He does. He wants to be a rock foundation for you to build a better life on. You and the one that you love. You and those ones that you love. Let's build on the right foundation. Just last Sunday, a week ago right now, I introduced you to our Marine, Chris Smith, who was back visiting with us, and we joked and said this was his friend, Ellen, who was with him. Well, on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, they got engaged, right? Is that how it happened? Last Sunday night. They got engaged on Sunday night. And then on Wednesday night, she got saved. And, you know, she was just sitting here like some of you right now, last week in the service, thinking about it. Yeah, I probably need to be saved. But will I be saved? Well, in her case, it was no. Not unless something more happens. Well, what more has to happen? She was blessed to have a lot of people praying for her. A family who loved her, wanted to reach out to her. I had the privilege of talking to them about their wedding and through that to talk about salvation. And she got saved. God had a plan. But what about you today? What would it take? What would it take for you to get saved today? If you're here today and you are saved and you know it, would you say amen and raise your hand up as a testimony? Hey, that's great. That's great. Now, not everyone could raise their hand. I can appreciate the honesty of some who didn't. If you're not sure if you're saved, why don't you come make sure? Why don't you come make sure? You can meet me here at the front. No one else will be looking on. But we'll send you out privately with a counselor who will take a Bible. They'll answer your questions. They'll show you how to get saved. They'll tell you how they got saved and how you can be saved. And then you can build something better on a new foundation. the only true foundation. And so here in a moment after we pray, if you need to be saved, you come meet me here at the front. We'll help you privately. We won't embarrass you in any way. We'll just help you. And right now, Church Like Grace in particular, we really do have a lot of young couples. I want to do something different than we usually do. Usually our invitation is just an open time where you can come to the altar if you want. And we don't pick on you or anything like that. But today I just feel like the Lord would have us to do it a little bit differently. I want to invite our young people to come down. We have young couples. We have young singles. We've got teenagers. And I just want the youth of our church, including our young marrieds, to just come down to the altar. If you're with your spouse, you can come with them. If not, you can come by yourself. But just come down and find a spot here, because some of our experienced people, then I'm going to ask you to come and just pray over someone. Just lay a hand on their shoulder. Go ahead and start coming right now, you young ones. Find a spot out here. And we've got a lot of good, aged wisdom here in the room that cares. And they're going to come pray over you too. Not that they're the experts. We can all pray for one another. We can all grow in some of these ways. And while we're at the altar, we might as well pray that some who need to be saved today get saved also. Now you that want to come pray over one of these, would you just come pick somebody out? Or several somebodies, and just come pray over them. And then we'll have a final dedication prayer at the very end. All right. Others, would you come now and pray over some of these so they have someone praying over them? Would you come? You don't have to feel particularly qualified. If you've got some years in wisdom, we would like for you to come. If you've got some experience, would you come now? Very good. Very good. We'll get around to you. Just wait where you're at. We'll get to you. Let's have a verse of invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'd like to come and be saved, would you come? Meet us here at the front. Maybe God would lead you to join this church or make some other public decision. You're invited to come as we have a couple verses of invitation right now. And thank you. You may look this way. It's been a good Sunday morning. We've been having a lot of really big, great Sunday nights, and I am proud of our church for coming out in great numbers on Sunday nights, especially when we have kids' programs. We really come out, or if it's movie night, or if the mission team is back and reporting on things. Hey, let's really make a statement to the Lord tonight, because there's nothing special other than the most special thing, which is we're going to be preaching from God's Word tonight at 6 p.m., and would you just come out for the Lord tonight at 6 o'clock? Let's have another great family service. Understanding there's going to be kids in the room. Understanding there's going to be some distractions. But this is where they learn to sit in big churches by design in our Sunday night service. So come out at 6 tonight. And we're going to talk about the parable of the trees from the book of Judges. First parable in the Bible. It's about America. It's about Israel. And it's very practical for us today. And so we hope to see you then 6 o'clock tonight. Let's stand. Be dismissed with a word of prayer. Hello. Okay. All those who sign up for Beth Moore Bible Study need to pay, because we can't place the order until we get the money to get the books here so you can start the study. Very good. And you can do that in the lobby. Anything else? All right. Let's ask God's blessing on our departure. We'll look forward to seeing you back here in a few hours. God is good. Brother, it was so good to hear you sing again and to see you standing and walking and doing good. And would you do one more thing for us and pray for us, please?